Hello, everybody. I am Pastor Jeremiah. So honored to be with you here today. I have a confession to make. I used to be terrible, I mean terrible, at praying. I love going to church. I love reading my Bible. When it came down to praying, I just didn't want to do it. There was no joy in it. I felt like, why am I doing this? And I thought it was no big deal. Until one day, I went to Bible camp, and when I was growing up, I went to Bible camp, and it was a great way that I grew my faith. And there was this kind of spiritual mentor, this woman of prayer, what they call a prayer warrior. And we knew that every morning, she got up around 4, 4:30, and prayed for hours. And I went to the Bible camp one day, and there she was, and said, "Hi, how's it going?" And she casually mentioned, "Oh, great to see you. I pray for you every morning." And I was just so shocked to hear that. Because I was thinking, I didn't even think about you the whole year. And when she told me that, I felt two things. One was encouragement. Wow, I'm so blessed. But also, I felt guilty that, wow, I'm not good at praying, especially compared to this prayer warrior. And after that, I started trying harder and harder to pray more and more. Oh, so how about you? How is your prayer life? Is it full of joy and abundance, or is it more like a chore? When you hear the event prayer meeting, we have one Sunday mornings and Wednesday at Mosaic House, do you think, yeah, I can't wait to go? Or are you more like, oh, prayer meeting, eh? I think I'm busy that day. Do you find it hard to have this consistent and abundant prayer life? Well, as you might know, we're doing our series Rooted, Growing Deeply in Christ. And the hope is that we draw closer to God's heart and who we are in Christ. And one verse which really, I think, really sums up our hope for this series in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, it says, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness." And a key part of growing deeply in Jesus is prayer, because that is where we meet Jesus. And today we're going to look at a prayer warrior in the Old New Testament named Paul, and we're going to look at how and why he prayed so that we may be more rooted in Jesus. So if your Bibles, please turn with me to the main text today. It's going to be Colossians 1, we're starting in verse 1 all the way to verse 14. Hear the word of the Lord. "Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, and the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we have heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all the wisdom and understanding the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, so that you may have endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you. We give our lives to you, Lord. We want to be more deeply rooted in you, Jesus. So help us develop this discipline and this value at Mosaic House of prayer. Give us inspiration, give us joy in prayer. Help us to draw closer to you in your heart, Lord. May these words today be for your glory. And Holy Spirit, may you use me in this time. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Here's what I believe God wants us to know today. Praying in Jesus helps us grow in Jesus. Now, if you've noticed in the text we just read, Paul, he is full of joy as he prays. And Paul didn't get there just by trying harder and harder. Rather, he was in Jesus. This is a term that Paul uses a lot. And he mentions it in verse 2 when he talks about the people of Colossae, the brothers and sisters are in Christ. And it means that you and I are united and fused to Jesus. We are in him and he is in us. One description Paul uses in Acts 17:28, it says that in God, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. Another word that Paul uses in this section of scripture is knowledge. And this knowledge is not just knowing facts about someone. I know about Denzel Washington, that he was born in 1954. He's been in about 53 movies, and he is the only African-American actor who's won 2 Academy Awards. I know about him, but I don't know him. And the knowledge Paul's talking about is deep, experiential, personal, and intimate kind of knowing. I know Sarah, my wife, through and through, and she knows me. And that's the kind of knowledge Paul is using. And this is what it means to be in and pray in Jesus. When we pray to God, we're not just praying to God up in the skies, but as we pray, we are in him. God is with us and in us. As we pray, maybe on our knees, on our bed, Jesus is surrounding us. He is holding us. And God, the Holy Spirit, is with us. And even in our hearts, our mind, and our soul, hearing us and praying with us. And as we pray in Jesus, we will become more rooted in him and grow to become more and more like him. Because praying in Jesus helps us grow in Jesus. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to look at Colossians 1 a little bit more and find out how and why Paul remained rooted in Jesus. And we're going to look at two main points. The first one is we pray because God is bearing fruit in his people. And 2, we pray because God is bearing fruit in his world. Let's look at the first point. We pray because God is bearing fruit in his people. Paul is so filled with joy as he prays because of the work God is doing in his people, the church at Colossae. In verse 10, we hear this. Paul is saying that, may you live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Let me just kind of mix metaphors a little bit. When we are rooted deeply in Jesus, in Christ, we will then, like a tree does, bear fruit. That is, our lives will change and we will reflect more and more who God is to the world. One of these fruits, as Paul mentioned, is growing in the knowledge of God, knowing God. And Paul, he's actually never met this church in Colossae. And still, he is so filled with joy because he's heard of all the fruit this church is bearing. We see this in verse 3 and 5. Paul says here, we always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you because you've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope that's stored up in heaven about which you've already heard in the true message of the gospel. Paul is just so happy and rejoices about the faith, the love, and the hope that this church has. And this is a very much a central theme in Paul's writings, faith, hope, and love. And in this text, hope is the anchor or the root that springs out faith and grows faith and love. And this hope comes from the gospel of Jesus stored in heaven for you that Paul mentions. And let me ask you, friends, my brothers and sisters, do you have hope right now? And if you do, where is your hope? Where are you putting your hope? I think sometimes we don't have much joy in our prayer time because our hope is misplaced. Rather than having our hope stored up in heaven in God's kingdom, our hope is focused on storing things in this earth, and our prayers kind of follow suit. We sometimes pray that our friends would have a good life, that they'd be healthy, they'd have a nice bank account, a paid off mortgage. We pray that people are protected from the bad things in this life. And these things are all good things to pray for. But I've never heard Paul or anyone else in the Bible pray that Christians would have a nice home or a better car. Again, these aren't bad things to pray for, but these aren't focused on the hope that Paul is talking about. And therefore, it will not bear the fruit of one who is deeply rooted in Jesus. The hope that Paul is talking about is in the internal life of Jesus. And during this time, Paul is actually writing this letter in prison. He is on the verge of being executed. Also, the church of the Colossians, they're going through some really, really hard times. And Paul doesn't ask for prayer for release from prison or protection. And he doesn't even pray for protection over the church of the Colossians. Instead, he prays this in verse 11. This is the fruit that Paul is desiring. It says here that being strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, that you may have great endurance. Now, the word endurance means the capacity to hold out or bear up in the face of difficulty, being strong in the face of trials. And then Paul says, and patience. Now, this word means a state of being tranquil or having peace in the face of difficulty. And then verse 12, giving joyful thanks to the Father. Joy. Endurance, patience, joy. This is the fruit that Paul is talking about. Paul does not pray for his brothers and sisters to escape hard times, but to be strengthened by God in the midst of these hard times. And I believe if Paul was here today, his main prayer would not be an end to the pandemic, but rather that God's people, his church, would have power, endurance, patience, and joy in the midst of the pandemic, giving joyful thanks to the Heavenly Father. Now again, it's not wrong to pray for physical, material blessings or an end to a pandemic. Lord, come soon, please. But these prayers should not be our main focus, should not be our hope. This is not the fruit that God desires, and it will not make us rooted in Christ and the hope that he offers to us. The main fruit is that we become more and more like Jesus, more like Jesus' love, his faith, his gentleness, his kindness, and praying in Jesus helps us to grow in Jesus. And that was the source of Paul's joy. And like Paul, we pray because God is bearing fruit in his people. Now, I'm so blessed to be part of Mosaic House. I'm seeing God's fruit being coming out of you like crazy, even during this hard season. One example is my wife, Sarah, is a nurse in the emergency department, and it's been very, very hard. And despite that, God is growing in her patience and endurance. There's so many other examples. One example, I think it was as a family, and they've been going through some hard stuff, even before the pandemic. Layoff after layoff, health concern after health concern, Everything's coming at them. And still, whenever I talk to them, I can't help but just in awe of their faith, of their endurance, of their patience, of their hope in Jesus, because Jesus is their hope. Jesus is their joy. And every time I hear those stories, I am filled with hope and joy, and I am encouraged and emboldened to pray more and more. So let's do an application. Pray that others would bear fruit in Jesus. This is the focus of our prayers, and I encourage you to continue to pray for others that they may bear fruit, such as Paul talked about, faith, love, hope, power, endurance, patience, and joy, especially during these difficult times. I encourage you to pray personally in your own quiet time and find a way that honors God and also fits your personality. I personally use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, which goes through adoration, confession, thankfulness, and then supplication or asking of God. And my prayer list is getting bigger and bigger, so every day I kind of do a different group of people. So for instance, Monday is my family, Tuesday is my friends and close neighbors, and each day is something a little bit different. And I encourage you also pray collectively. Join us in our prayer meetings, and also, very importantly, join us in a house church. Praying together is such a beautiful way to connect with others in a wonderful way. And I'm so encouraged, and I love praying with others. So I encourage you to find and hold on to opportunities to pray individually and also as a church family. All right, the second point. We pray because the first point, God is bearing fruit in his people. And the second point, because God is bearing fruit in the world. Verse 6, Paul puts it like this. In the same way, the gospel, I guess we'll go, verse 6 says, in the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world. Even though it may not seem like it sometimes, the good news of Jesus, his salvation, his justice, his kingdom, is growing throughout the whole world. And that's one reason Paul is filled with so much joy as he prays. If you look at the whole Bible, it tells us this story that God created the heavens and the earth, and it was good. And he wanted us to live fruitful lives, to multiply, bear fruit, and be blessed. And he ruled the world in what Colossians calls the kingdom of life, of light, where he was fully in charge. Unfortunately, the first humans, they sinned against God. They rebelled against his kingdom and his light. And in Colossians 1:13, it describes this kingdom of darkness kind of took over the world. And this kingdom of darkness set up like this shadow government, infecting all structures, hearts, and minds, and ideologies. And this kingdom separated us from God and his fruitfulness. Instead of us receiving light and life, we entered into darkness and decay. And the kingdom of darkness convinced us that true fruitfulness, prosperity, and security only comes from its power, its rule, its economy offered by the world. And we believed it. We became slaves to it. And the Bible says we became slaves to sin and death. But Jesus, God in the flesh, came in to defeat and fight against the kingdom of darkness and to reestablish his kingdom of light. He was killed by the kingdom of darkness on the cross. But 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead because Jesus was God and his light is greater than the darkness. Also, through the death of Jesus, he provided a way for the forgiveness of our sins so that we can now again know God, have a deep, intimate relationship with him as our Father, and then bear his fruit. Colossians 1 summarizes what I just said in this. It says this in Colossians 1:13, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is the good news of Jesus, which is growing throughout the whole world. Amen, amen. Isn't that good news? However, Do you sometimes feel like, or does it seem like, the kingdom of darkness is still very strong? Sometimes it's hard to see the God's kingdom of light here in action. And unlike the time of Paul, it seems like in Canada, there's less and less people coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Also, racial tensions are at an all-time high. Hate is almost like a new cultural value, and lies are almost like a new universal dialect. Things are getting harder and harder, and the global economy is in disarray, and it's hard not to put our hope in the economy, our hope that things in this nation will get better. Well, let me remind you, despite the challenges of Paul's day, he still believed that God's gospel is growing in the whole world and bearing much fruit, and is therefore more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. Paul, like I mentioned, was in prison. He eventually was killed by the Roman Empire, ruled by this really treacherous dictator named Nero, maybe someone more powerful and worse than most of our leaders today. Paul, he had it really, really bad. But despite all this, Paul believed that God's power is greater than the darkness. God's power is bearing fruit in the world, and he put his hope and trust in God's kingdom to meet his needs, to walk in God's kingdom. And he believed God's kingdom of light was here and actively bearing fruit. And in many other countries, the gospel is growing tremendously, and many people are coming to Jesus. A few years ago, with the support of Mosaic House, I was able to go on a missions trip to the Philippines, hosted by my mother, and the hunger and passion of the gospel is so, so encouraging. And also, the gospel is growing here. I see it at Mosaic House, and also I see it at my work at the Mustard Seed. I work with people living in poverty and homelessness, and sometimes the gospel is bearing fruit in unexpected places. One example is I take groups on a kind of walkabout around the inner city of Edmonton, trying to understand the issues of poverty and homelessness. And most of these groups are not Christians. They are from different backgrounds and mostly wealthier middle-class individuals. And sometimes one of my friends come over and they say hi to us, my friends who live in poverty and homelessness. And a couple of times, one of my friends came to a group and they preached the gospel to the whole group. It was the most amazing, succinct version of the gospel. Jesus loves you, died for you, come to him, he will change your life. And my friends are preaching to people with no church background, Buddhists, Muslims, and these groups listened respectfully. God's gospel is growing and bearing fruit in the world. Let me do an application. Trust that God is bearing fruit in his world and pray for its growth. If you find it hard to see God working, maybe you feel hopeless, maybe you just only can see the darkness, ask God to give you eyes to see. Ask him to show you where he is working and then join in. Pray with Jesus, "Your kingdom come, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And also pray for friends and family who don't follow Jesus. Here at Mosaic House, we do something called Prayer, Care, and Share, where we're practically wanting to love and serve our neighbors and our loved ones who don't know Jesus. And that is just pray for them. Sits at a time where I pray once a week for my friends and neighbors who don't know Jesus. And then think of ways that you can care for their needs. Just be there for them. And then pray for opportunities and also take advantage of opportunities where you can share the love and the message of Jesus. And I encourage you also to pray for this hurting, dark world. Pray that God's fruit would be more evident, his love, his joy, his peace. And one of the things I do in my prayer life is I have subscribed to something called Do Justice. It's a blog in the Christian Reformed Church which focuses on the justice of God. And they actually send you prayers every couple of days which talk about God's need for his love, his peace in the world today. And the more that we pray, the more that we will trust in Jesus and and his work in the world, and the more we will see the world and see others the way God does, with love and compassion, and the more we will be emboldened to pray. Praying in Jesus helps us grow in Jesus. So far we talked about two points. We pray because God is bearing fruit in his people, and we pray because God is bearing fruit in his world. And let's do a little bit of an assessment. How was your prayer life? Are you kind of like, to use the metaphor, a little seed? Like you just planted, you rooted in Jesus, but you're still growing, you're still figuring this thing out. Right on, keep growing where you are. Are you more like a little shrub? You popped out of the ground, you're kind of getting your bearings, but you've got a lot of growing to do. Or are you a rooted tree that bears fruit in Jesus? Wherever you are, commit to praying. Pray in Jesus, because praying in Jesus helps us grow in Jesus. So I encourage you to commit to a more disciplined, more practical, and more involved prayer life. But also, let me remind you, also growing in Jesus helps us pray in Jesus. Because we are in Jesus, we don't just try harder and harder to get better at prayer. Rather, because of what Jesus done on the cross, because his kingdom of light has invaded all creation, we are now invited to deeply root in Jesus. This is a free gift to be in Jesus. We don't earn it. He just invites us to himself. And once you are rooted in him, Jesus promised that we will grow in him. And all we have to do is focus on Jesus, be rooted in him, rather than just trying to be a better prayer warrior. Remember when I mentioned that I was having a hard time praying? And after I met my spiritual mentor who prayed like crazy, I decided I'm going to pray harder. I'm going to work harder. And I tried and tried so hard, and I failed every time. And eventually I just said, Lord, I surrender. I really suck at this prayer thing. Please help me. And the more I shifted my focus on me being a better prayer warrior, and on God and how wonderful he is, guess what? The more I just naturally started to pray. The more I focused on Jesus and growing in him, the more I prayed and the more joy I received in praying. And I encourage you, as you are seeking to increase your prayer life, just focus on Jesus. The word prayers has two parts in Greek, and the first part is pros, which actually means continually turning your face towards God. So turn your face towards Jesus. He will help you. He loves you. He's invited you to know him deeply. Praying in Jesus helps us grow in Jesus, and growing in Jesus helps us pray in Jesus. Now, we're going to end with just the time of prayer, and I'm going to follow the Acts as well as do some prayers from the Do Justice. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, first we adore you. Thank you for your kingdom of light, which has defeated the kingdom of darkness. Darkness cannot overcome you, Lord. You are our hope. You are steadfast. You promise to be with us, and you give us strength and power and endurance no matter what comes our way. So we praise you for who you are and for what you've done in Jesus, our forgiveness and our redemption. Lord, we confess the times when we have put our hope in other places other than you. Forgive us, Lord. We wish to repent and turn fully to you and store our hope in heaven and eternity. And Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing at Mosaic House, bearing fruit in his people. I praise you for the stories I've heard and the encouragement, and also I praise you for the work and your fruit you're bearing in this world. Help us to see it and to actively participate in it. And we pray for those who don't know you, Lord. Pray for opportunities that we can share good news with them. And finally, Lord, we ask that you continue to be more real to us. Help us to see you at work. Pray for those who are struggling with unemployment, with anxiety during school. Pray for this world, the fires in the States right now. Pray for the refugee camps in Greece. Lord, we pray also this week was the anniversary of the United Nations on Indigenous rights. Give nations the ability to love their neighbors, especially the oppressed as Indigenous peoples. And also remember that this week was an anniversary of treacherous white supremacist bombing of the church in Birmingham, Alabama, where the African American daughters were killed. Pray for racial reconciliation, Lord. Bring your kingdom, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven, and may your church be a part of it, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.